It's time to take 10 minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Kedoshim. She's his. We're looking at Parshat Kedoshim. We know that Rov Gufei Torah Tzliimba. Know that much of the important principles, many of the important principles in the Torah are found in Parshat Kedoshim. And there's so many beautiful things, the idea of being a holy people, being holy to God, the idea of the Havdal Recha Kamocha, loving your neighbor as yourself. One section which seems to almost disturb and almost doesn't seem to belong is a section known as Shivcha Charufa. Shivcha Charufa, it's hard to translate, we're not sure, meaning, different debates about the meaning. It's either a woman who is a slave woman who is was attached, perhaps she's engaged to someone, and someone else sleeps with her. We'll get to the exact details. And the question is, what is this doing here? There is a whole section in both in Kedoshim at the end and the previous section of Achrimot that deals with illicit relations. So if this is some form of illicit relationship, it should be over there. Furthermore, we're going to see that the Mishnah in Kritut says that this case of this woman who is betrothed and she's some sort of slave woman, this woman, the case is so different from all other sins. Why is it an asham? Why it's sometimes the punishment for the husband, for the male offender and the woman offender is different. So many different things. Why? What is this all about? And why is this significant enough to be included in Parshat Kedoshim, which is about major principles in the Torah? I'd like to suggest that the various scenarios that have been suggested as to what the sin is of this betrothed slave woman, whatever the sin may be, it boils down to three different concepts, ideas, values that are important and important enough to be mentioned in this important parsha, Parshat Kedoshim. We have theory number one. Theory number one, we will say that the idea is that this speaks about unusual cases and also of doubtful cases. Rabbi Akiva says it's a story of a woman who's a chetzer, shivcha and chetzer ben chorin. She was owned by two masters, two owners. One decided to redeem her, and the other one did not. So she's been half freed, but half not freed. Perhaps he gave her a document. And the other one says, oh, my part, I'm not freeing you. So she's stuck in this middle point. And then either an Israelite or perhaps a Hebrew slave sleeps with her. And he has now violated perhaps sleeping with a shivcha. He's a regular Jew, and he's with a woman who is not a proper a Jew. She is on the way to becoming a Jew. She is a slave woman that has a status of partially Jewish. Rabbi Ishmael says, no, it's talking about a Shifra Kananis, a woman who herself is a slave, she's part Jewish, and she's married either to a Jewish slave or even maybe into a non-Jewish slave. In which case, this is not a Jewish case. It's a not too people, she's half Jewish, and the husband is a Gentile, but nonetheless, she is linked to this man, and therefore, no one else should be sleeping with her. Third possibility is that we go back to Mishpatim. Man, unfortunately, sold his daughter into slavery. Maybe he couldn't afford to raise her. There are rules to it. He has to either marry her or give her off in marriage to someone else. So the Hamakdavar says he married her off to someone else, but he didn't actually fulfill the marriage he intended to give her to someone else. In the meantime, a third party sleeps with her, and that's the violation. These scenarios suggest one of two things. The idea of the murky. If this Parshat Kedoshim is telling us anything, it's telling us, number one, that there are laws beyond the law. Aside from the prohibition of adultery, per se, there's also a prohibition of things that are akin to adultery. cases where we're not, it's not clear what category she fits in. And still, we have to respect people who don't fit in a particular category. Sometimes a rabbi would go to a different town and they would ask him, what do you do when a woman doesn't fit in the regular category? What if she doesn't have any arms and she's trying to perform chalitza? They would ask these questions because that's what people want to know. What about when someone doesn't fit in the normal categories? So the very fact that this is a complex case, maybe that's the point. That the Torah covers not only the more obvious cases, but also cases that are complex, that are strange, that are odd, where it's hard to put in a particular box. Also, the Amik Davar says, you know, it's not clear. Was she freed? Wasn't she freed? We're not sure what happened. And this, that's why there's an asham here. That's why it's a guilt offering, because there's a notion that a guilt offering is a, the asham is a special type of guilt for doubtful cases. The person was so lackadaisical about their relationships that they got involved with this woman who was either a slave woman or something like that. She betrothed to someone, but perhaps not totally. This shows that he's not being particularly careful about his relationships, about his actions. And just as someone who landed out eating a piece of forbidden fat, he thought it was a regular fat. He thought it was kosher fat. Just like there, we asked him to bring an asham, to bring a guilt offering, because why are you getting in such murky situations? Why are you getting yourself in trouble? You should be more careful about what you're eating, what you're doing. So too here, it's either something murky, or something that falls between the cracks. Parsha Kedoshim is all about, so you shouldn't be Naval B'Shus HaTorah, as the Ramban says, covers cases that perhaps are beyond the letter of the law. Second type of scenario, second type of message. Second possibility is, like the Ramban says, he doesn't clarify exactly what case it is, but this woman is charufa, I mean, she's young. She's a young woman, and she's sort of the concubine of somebody. She's a concubine of a Hebrew slave, but she's someone's concubine. And this, and although that's not an official relationship, it's not a marriage, it's not adultery, but she is linked to someone. She's someone else's. And therefore, we say, stay away. She's not yours. The Oznaim Latorah suggests maybe it's the following scenario. Woman is a slave. She's part Jewish, but she's a slave. Not fully Jewish. She didn't enter the full Kedusha of holiness of being Jewish. She wants to get out of her slavery like anyone else. So she decides she'll flirt with this man. She'll have a relationship with this man, and he'll buy her out, and she'll be free. Problem is, he didn't have enough money. So he buys her out halfway, and then she gets frustrated. A month goes by, 2 months. So she decides to sleep with someone else. So here it's a crime committed by her as well. Some of these scenarios, she's not particularly committing a crime. Here, it's her crime as well. She was already sort of promised to this first man. And the second man is committing a crime because he knows that this woman is connected to the first man. So why is he getting involved with her? So it's a lack of loyalty. It's someone getting involved with someone who's already connected. She's his. She's not yours. She belongs to someone else. The Ibn Ezra says, this is someone who's betrothed. She is promised to someone else. It's not an official betrothal, the ring or what, but she's designated for someone else. The master, someone decided that she's going to marry someone else. And this is the principle which in Talmud is known as ani hamapich b'charar. Sometimes a person is looking at a lost object and they take a stick and they toss it over a little bit. They look at it, see what it is. And while they're looking at it, someone else comes and grabs it. That's not nice. It's not right. If someone is engaged in something, leave them alone. Someone tells you, no, I got a great job opportunity. It's terrific. It's really wonderful. I'm going for my interview tomorrow. You don't call up the employer right now and see if you can get an interview at the same time. That's not what you do, right? If someone tells you about a great business deal they're about to make, because they're just sharing the good news about what's going on in their life, and you preempt them and you make the deal instead, that's not the way to conduct business. That's not proper ethical behavior. Sure, it's not exactly stealing from someone, but that's exactly what this is about. It's not exactly new. If it's not exactly adultery, it's not exactly stealing. But there's some element of stealing here, some element of trickery. There's some element of taking that which is not yours, someone who's already designated for someone else. Finally, we have a third possibility. The third possibility is related to the context. As Rambam points out more in Aruchim in another strange way, but also the Sforno points out the Reb Hirsch, the Ibn Ezra, the Rokeach, they all say that the connection to Kalayim is important. There's an introduction, keep my laws, and then the laws of Kalayim, of not having mixed seed, mixed animals, interbreeding, and then it tells us about this case. What does it say? It's saying, Kedoshim to you, you are a holy nation, and you have a special status, and you have no business with a woman who hasn't yet fully converted to Judaism. She is Shivcha, she has entered some element of Jewish mitzvot. She doesn't have the full Kedushas Yisrael, the full holiness, and a man should not be married. Jewish man should not be married to a Shivcha, person who has not fully entered into the covenant. And therefore, it's similar to the mixed species, mixed breeding in the previous section. The heading of this parsha is Kedoshim to you. Kedoshim to you includes things that are murky, things that are not exactly spelled out in other places. So Ramban says, this parsha in this mitzvah of Kedoshim to you should be holy includes things that are not exactly spelled out. Here's a case, an example of things that are not spelled out. It's an example of something murky, something where there's status that's unusual, and perhaps there's a case of doubt, and we should stay away not only from definite sins, but even doubtful and murky and problematic situations. That's Kedoshim to you. The Sforno are arguing, no, this is under the rubric of Kedoshim to you, you should be holy. You're a holy nation, you have a special status, shouldn't be engaged. People who have a lower status, who have not fully entered the Kedushas Yisrael, the sanctity of being part of the Jewish nation. And finally, there's a notion of things that are not yours, that this is not your gal. This gal belongs to someone else. This gal, true, she's not married to someone else, but they're dating. They're living together. There is some kind of relationship, even if it's not the most edified relationship that they have. Even if it may even be two Gentiles, one is a slave and one is a slave man, slave woman, you don't get involved. It's true. It's not full adultery. There's not going to be put to death for this, but there needs to be a guilt offering brought. And the rabbis say the woman is has lashes as well. Why? Because when someone is engaged with something, you don't come and take it away, even if they're not fully in ownership of it, or even if they're not actually betrothed to it, or even just engaged to it. Still, the very designation that this is his gal, you don't come and take his gal. It's not yours. Kedoshim to you, this parsha teaches us important lessons, understanding our status, trying to stay away from murky situations, and also to remember that it's not just we can't steal and can't commit adultery. There are things akin to that that are also forbidden. Things where you know that really this person has an interest in that. Don't trespass in places where others already have an interest. It's not your place. You have to respect other people's relationship, even if that relationship is a murky one or a tenuous one. Thank you for joining us here at the Baron Hirsch Congregation for a discussion with Parsha. Join us each week for a discussion with Parsha and the holidays. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. And thanks to Andy Woodman for sponsoring, with Tricia Woodman sponsoring these talks. Thank you.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.